This is Echoes Down the Line, written by, whoops, okay, read by Mr. Born Hero, a The Raven Cycle podfic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Gangsy, Ronan, Adam, Blue. It is tagged for Sensate Clusters, Psychic Bond, Soulmates, Sex is Fun, Fluff and Humor, Semi-Public Sex, sorta. Depends on if psychic sex counts as public. The distance between them wound up being a lot less daunting than Blue had anticipated it being. Going to college in three separate states, leaving only Blue and Ronan together in Henrietta, had sounded soul-sucking after all they had been through. The space Gangsy and Adam would leave behind had felt giant in concept. But now that it is here, she finds it easier to breathe around than she had braced for. That's the thing about soulmates, she guesses. The magic between them doesn't thin with distance. If she wants, she can turn into her own head, find them all right there, their hearts pressed right up against hers. Some of these moments are lonely or hurt, their souls calling out for each other before they can reach for their phones. I'm here, I'm here. But many are just benign, just the four of them getting used to the idea of being not quite humans in yet another way. Of being together in yet another way. More and more, these moments are becoming comfortable, their familiarity welcome and soothing. Occasionally, though, these moments spark off something a little warmer. Blue doesn't know why she and Ronan sync up the most, but when she's sitting on her bed, trying to focus on her ill-advised three summer classes and feels something hot flash down her chest and twist in her stomach, she blinks and she's sitting beside him. Ronan instinctively moves his phone out of her line of sight, pure reflex, but catches himself halfway through the pointless motion. Blue already knows what's on it. That feeling in his chest is very unique to a specific person of their mutual acquaintance. Right on cue, she's sitting on a workbench outside the bathroom at the auto stop where Adam works between classes. There's a blush settled into his cheeks that could pass for extortion, but for how she could feel his heartbeat rabbiting in her chest as he walks past. At her surprised smirk, he clears his throat, his blush kicking up a notch. You can see. He mutters, and with that, Ronan's phone is in Blue's hand, the heat multiplying between the three of them so sharply Gangsy shows up. You cannot right now, he says over her shoulder, sitting in a packed lecture hall between his roommate and a senator's daughter whose name is abruptly embarrassingly unimportant. It is a profound effort to keep the shocked arousal of his face when he sees so much of Adam's skin, sweat slick and flush, half hard, on Ronan's phone. Can't we? Ronan says, and his level of contrary for the sake of being contrary is a lot easier to understand from the inside. He's not trying to be difficult. It comes as naturally as breathing. Leaning over the back of Gangsy's chair, he lets his breath ghost against Gangsy's neck, Blue sucking in the hiss that Gangsy suppresses. Ronan looks up at the professor, blandly.
Not like they can see us.
Obviously, but I can feel... Ronan's teeth scrape the hinge of Kangxi's jaw, and Adam nearly drops a socket wrench on his foot when the feeling hits him. Blue puts herself between Adam and the car he was about to start working on. Not safe for work, she smiles, when Ronan is suddenly behind him, kissing the sweat of his neck. She feels a little like a pinup girl, which makes her laugh as she slides back onto the hood, spreading her legs and tugging Adam between them. She watches Gangsy's mouth fall open when she straddles his lap at the same time, blocking his view of the presentation he was barely paying attention to anyway. "Say no," she says, cupping his face close enough that her breath is on his mouth, but his hands are already stroking up her thighs. Gangsy's desire is a different sort of light in Blue's stomach, but is still just as familiar, if not more so than Ronan's or Adam's. He licks his lips and doesn't say no. "I'm not quite sure I can keep quiet under you, Jane." Ronan chuckles against his throat. "Let her worry about that." Gangsy turns to him blearily. "Pardon?" But then Blue's mouth is on his, smothering any other sounds. "You two are the worst," Adam says into Blue's mouth, his heart tripping in the sweet way it always does when he touches her. His fingers edge carefully under the end of her skirt. "You rubbed off on each other." "Only once," Blue whispers back, and the hot streak in Adam's gut makes her head spin. She turns him around to face Ronan, her arms wrapped around his chest.
"What? When?"
Gangsy says. Blue just laughs. But then Ronan presses forward, rolls his hips into Adam's, and it turns into a wanting groan. She falls back into her bedroom for a moment, Ronan's hand clamped over her mouth.
"You have to keep quiet too, maggot,"
he whispers, hard and heavy over her. She bites his palm until he lets go. "What do you care about alarming the masses?" And... well, he doesn't, but he knows she does. She's a courteous housemaid and does not want to have another sex talk with the women of 300 Fox Way. He'll get on board with that, because the last time he got roped into that conversation, it made all of them want to die. So, yeah, she'll be quiet, even though it is annoying that he is the one that remembered for her. Blue and Ronan don't often kiss each other, but Ronan biting her jaw is a familiar burst of affectionate pain before they get back to the task at hand. Adam has one hand craned back to hold her head, her mouth on his neck, and Ronan kisses him, rocks their arousals together. Gangsy's hands are hard on her thighs as she unzips his pants.
Wait, is this real? Am I...
Gangsy knows good and well that she would never really open his pants in front of a full room, but she lets him take a minute to look at the real world anyway, before shoving his pants out of the way and taking him in hand.
"Wait," Adam says, but it is writhing between them like they can't stop. "The bathroom."
"You'd rather smell piss than motor oil?" Blue mumbles against his shoulder, reaching into his suit to roll his nipples, making him choke out a wordless sound of encouragement. She looks around the garage, aware of the owner yelling in the other room. "It is your lunch hour. Nobody's coming in." In her room, she curls her fingers into herself, gasping when they turn into Adam's fingers, calloused and trembling. She turns to look at him,
his mouth half open as he watches his fingers disappear into her cunt. He looks struck when he returns her gaze, and they both groan when that makes her clench. "We can be quick," she whispers, mentally pushing her panties out of the way. Nothing between her and Genghis's arousal. "Greedy." Ronan breathes against her cheek before he turns to kiss Genghis's mouth with her. Genghis turns to him, gets a biting kiss for his troubles. "If any of us are particularly prone to indulgences," he starts, but then Blue is sinking down on him, and in the real world, he presses his palms down on the desk, crosses his ankles, not trusting himself to be still. "Blue," he gasps. "Yeah?" she replies tightly, slowly settling herself in his lap with a bleary thought that he has her favorite dick. Holy shit! "He would be your favorite dick," Ronan snorts, disrupting the mind-numbing burst of arousal that had overtaken Genghis. Adam laughs against her shoulder in the bedroom, presses his palms down against her clit, making her buck even as she snickers breathlessly. Genghis is suddenly kneeling over Ronan, where he is sitting against the wall at the barns, beautifully flushed, even with his eyebrow raised in challenge at Genghis's glare. "You are my least favorite asshole," Genghis tells him empathetically, but it just makes a filthy smirk twist across Ronan's mouth. Still, there is something gratifying about the way his breath stutters, hand clamping hard on Genghis's waist when Genghis rolls his hips down on him. "That's okay," Adam cuts in evenly, watching from beside them with unabashed lust all over his face. In the garage, his hands are fumbling to open the front of Ronan's pants. "I got dibs on this asshole anyway." Blue is actively cackling now, which is a weirdly pleasant sensation with Adam's fingers Genghis's cock inside her. "I'll have you know, I hate you all," Genghis says, but then he is kissing them in Ronan's iron grip with Blue in his lap, propped up against the car and turning Adam to face him. "Fuck," Ronan mutters sympathetically as he grips his and Adam's arousals in his hand, jacking slowly with his head resting on Adam's shoulder. "Please," Adam gasps against Genghis's lips, but isn't talking to any particular one of them. He's licking all over Ronan as Blue scrapes her teeth along the sensitive spot behind his ear. "Please," Blue echoes, talking to all of them, lifting and lowering herself with intent that makes Genghis's mouth drop open against hers. Ronan's hand strokes reverently through her hair as he watches Genghis's face, and Genghis can't help it. He can't, okay? He's always so controlled and put together. He knows how to be that, but he doesn't have to do it with them. They make him, they break him, and in the real world, even biting his knuckles bloody doesn't keep his mouth from punching out his chest when he comes, and oh, it echoes. He is Blue, writhing and aching up of her bed, coming apart under Adam's palms as he strokes his fingers inside her, Ronan's hand back over her mouth as he pants against her ear because he is Ronan, with his heels digging into the dirt, cursing lowly, his head thunking soundly back against the wall of the barn as Genghis groans against his throat, hips jerking frantically, his Adam, with his mouth stretched wide and his head tossed back over Blue's shoulder, gripping her thigh, gripping Ronan's wrist as he spills over Ronan's fist and cock, and all their orgasms slam into him at once, and it's good, it's so fucking... Then, he is lying there gasping in Blue's body as she coughs noisily in his, The confusion at this is only momentary before his face flares as he realizes she is saving him from the surely immodest sound that had been about to burst out of his mouth. Ronan is standing there, pants open and shameless, still half-stroking himself as Gangsy draws a breath, takes his body back to continue coughing. The senator's daughter, whose name still escapes him, concernedly pushes his water into his hand as his roommate pats his back. "You good, G?" "Sorry," he whizzes, takes a sip that does nothing to cool his face with the three orgasm-drunk menaces to society laughing in his head. "Allergies. The rockweed has been horrid this year." "Simply dreadful, I say," Ronan mocks, Blue shivering with giggly aftershocks of pleasure where she's leaning against his shoulder. Even Adam is chuckling, slumped back against the hood of the car, fighting to level his breathing. Gangsy knows they can feel the embarrassed flutter in his stomach, makes an effort to look disapproving of their mirth. It doesn't work, of course, but he hadn't really expected it to. They can feel his amused love for them, echoing over everything else. The end. This was, well, this was technically initially intended to be recorded for a literal garbage heap for ITP 2024. And then I kind of had second thoughts about if it was a good gift or not. And then I asked, and well, and then we did voice teams together, which is like voice teams. And we got a challenge of bring light, which was basically like give someone a gift. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna check anyway. I do like the fic and the idea behind the fic. So I messaged and ta-da! Anyway, I have thoughts, actually, on this. Because Sense8 is a cluster of 8, obviously, and here we only get 4 people. So we need Noah, who I know is a ghost and dead, but listen. In Sense8, there's this girl, little girl, that a lot of Sense8s sense the echoes of. And with all the magic bullshit that goes on in the Raven Cycle, I think we could make an argument for Noah, metaphysically being born in the same exact moment as the others. And therefore being part of their cluster when they finally are born again. So that's one. Then we've got Henry Cheng, obviously, because I love him and he deserves to be part of the cluster. And then that's 6 people. I don't know who else is gonna be there. I guess they're 2 very confused people because all their cluster went on a quest without them and now they are there? So yeah. Maybe you know someone from like the Dreamer trilogy that fits it? But I don't. So I'm leaving it at that. I hope you enjoyed Garbage. I was just very excited when I saw, like, Soulmate Sense8 AU with polyamory in this fandom, and I wanted to share it with you. Thank you for listening, I hope you enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.